Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here's Salvi. He'll swing and shoot it down the right field line. Going back is Eaton. Eaton in front of the fence looks up. It's gone. A three-run opposite field home run.
Happy opening day. For the Royals, they play at 3:10 this afternoon against the Twins. So we'll be following that coming up a little bit later. I think this next list and the story that you found out of Business Insider is fascinating.
I did too. And it was because I immediately started going down a whole bunch of different mental paths with this.
Me too.
Because, I mean, the initial story wasn't about what we're going to do with it. It was just about ways and signs that you can look for that somebody that you're friends with is just a bad friend. And they go through a lot of things that I'm sure you could probably put together some of these in your mind and may have even experienced them and probably have over the years with different people that you knew that were part of your friend group. I mean, somebody gossiping about somebody else in a way that tears people down. Mm-hmm. Here's a big one. The refusal to take no for an answer. If I mm-hmm. call you on a Wednesday and say, hey, let's go out to happy hour, you're kind of not allowed to say no. And if you do, it's going to come back on you, or I'm going to keep cajoling you. Come on, don't be a stick in the mud. Let's go. Come on. And that kind of thing, not respecting your boundaries while you're expected to respect all of theirs is another big part of this.
The one on this list that hit me the most, that I seem to deal with the most, mm-hmm. is number four on this list is reciprocity. They rarely initiate communication.
Uh-huh.
Somehow I became the friend in my group that, and I don't know if it's just because, maybe because I live alone or because I'm more extroverted. I don't know what the deal is. And I'm okay with it, but I seem to be the friend that initiates 80, 90% of all plans. Now, people never tell me no. Like, they're always glad I asked. They're always excited about whatever I suggest.
Yeah.
But it gets irritating after a while, and it gets old to have to be the one to always suggest going out.
Not only that, and I'm going to add to that because my wife is going through this and has been going through this for a long time with a family member where it's you're supposed to call. You're supposed to always be the one who makes the phone call. You're supposed to initiate contact. Yep. I'll never initiate contact, but I'll get on you for it if you don't call me often enough.
Yeah. This is where I forgive my mom for this. I think in our relationship, she's always afraid to bother me. She always feels like she's bothering me, which is never true. I'm always going to answer when mom calls.
Sure.
She's the parent I have left, right? I'm always going to answer. But I am always calling. It's just always one way. She'll occasionally text me, but it's always one way. But I'm not breaking up with mom, obviously.
Sure, right. And that's, I mean, that can be really tricky, especially when it is a family member. And it's not something mm-hmm. you can just break, you know, somebody that you can just break up with. But I think as adults, I don't know if we keep track of this as much, because, I mean, a couple of people texted in and said, well, yeah, I mean, everybody breaks up with their high school friends. We leave high school. You know, we go off to college and we go to different places and just kind of lose touch. That's not what I mean. When we're talking about breaking up with a friend, usually it's more into the adult world, because you realize you don't have to deal with stuff you don't want to deal with.
Right. Right. And that you are worth more than that.
Yes.
And that you don't need this person in your life. When you're younger, you're more afraid of being alone sometimes, or you feel like that's the best you can do. As you get older, I guess I'll speak for myself. I'm peaceful by myself, or I'll find better friends. And if you stink, then I don't need you.
Sure. Yeah. And you can just say, all right, that's it. I want out of this. I don't really have any use for you anymore. What I was a little surprised about, and I love this, and if you want to call, we've got some calls to get to here in just a second, but if you want to add into this, by all means do. 913-586-7798 is the number of people on the text line so far who have not only said, yes, I have broken up with friends because I didn't feel like I was being treated well, but the number of people who actually did it directly, didn't just ghost somebody.
Right.
But actually emailed them or called them and said, you know what, this is too much, and I don't want you to be a part of my life anymore. That's, first of all, good for you for taking that kind of agency over your life, but that's a step I don't think a lot of us make.
And we'll get to the calls in a second, but because I think a lot, again, I'll just speak for myself. I think I'm too hopeful that people are going to change.
Yeah.
Or I'm too hopeful that it'll get better, or it won't always be this way. People don't change. It doesn't usually get better, but it's hard to go to a person. I mean, it's hard enough to do it in romantic relationships, but to have to go to a friend and say, this isn't working for me anymore. Best of luck, buddy. I'm out. That's a really hard, I commend those of you that have been able to do it.
Because I think in our minds, it feels kind of petty, because it's not a romantic relationship. You know what
I
mean?
So why do you have to end it?
Yeah, right. And to your point about being optimistic about people changing, let me read this to you, because this is the text that I was referring to. This is the email that was sent from the texter to the friend that they were breaking up with. You and I are on different paths. I used to admire the man you were and the mindset you had. I don't anymore. I wanted to reach out sooner, but I realized that the path you were on would not change for anything, so I stayed quiet. But now I'm choosing to back out of this friendship. Have a good life. And that speaks directly.
I'm stealing that.
Yeah, that speaks directly to what you just said about, look, I gave you the benefit of the doubt. I kept hoping that you would stop this, and then I realized you're never going to. And that's when I have to call it quits.
Yeah. If you have proactively broken up with a friend, what were the reasons and what made you finally do it? Yeah. And how'd you do it?
And what was the response? That's another piece of it, I guess. Off to Damon at KCMO we go. Hello, Damon.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Jamie, John. Hey, I have just gone through this. Oh man. I tell you, no more than 4 months ago, I called her my little sister. We've been around each other through all of our relationships, our marriages and everything, all our kids being born and everything. And I started realizing that every time that we actually talked was because I called her and checked on her, and we, you know, had conversations. And so the times that she ever did make contact with me, which was every so often, that's when she needed some money. And she called me the last time and said she needed some money. And I told her we needed to talk. So what I did, I came up with an own plan in my own mind. I said, well, let me see. I tell her I'll give her some money, but then I don't show. And I always was there giving her money. But this particular time, I wanted to see if our relationship was just about money. So I didn't call her, and I didn't get the money. And she called me, I would say, more about a week later, and I didn't answer. And it could have been any reason. I could have been dead or in the hospital. She never called me back out of all these 45 years of friendship and relationship just to see if I was okay. She just took it as, well, he didn't give me the money. I'm done with him.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I'm done with the relationship. If that's all we got is just money, I said, I'm done. But 45 years was a long time, I thought, to kind of throw one. Like you said, seemed petty. you know, not talking to each other, figuring out who's going to call who. I'm always the one to pick up the phone and call and check on people. But I like it when someone just calls us to say, hey, how are you doing?
Right.
Is everything okay?
Right.
You know, so that's why I just wanted to call and share that with you guys.
Love it.
Thanks, Damon.
I love it, Damon. Thank you. Yeah. And when you, boy, and that's such a hard thing when you realize that, that after that much time, you've just been being used for that long.
Yeah, man, I'm the whole who calls who initiates communication is hitting a nerve with me because there are some of my friends that I more that I deal with. I just have a different relationship with them. And I just know our relationship is really, really, really good, except for this one thing. So it doesn't bother me. I get it. We're just close enough.
Yeah.
There are a couple other friends that I backed off of. I just got tired of being the one to initiate. And I just said, I'm tired of this and I'm going to back out of this. Those friends came to me, which is why those friendships still exist.
Okay.
Because there's something about teaching people how to treat you.
Yes.
And that's sort of what I did. I think I have been guilty of setting a low bar sometimes, and I'm trying to change that. You teach people how to treat you, and you do it at the beginning. It's hard to do it later. It's hard to correct it later.
No, but you did. And again, good for you on that front, because the one that really got to me, because this article also talks a lot about the way that person treats you. If they say, let me be brutally honest, and then they just hack away at you all
the time.
Yeah,
that's not an excuse to be a jerk.
Right. And and there was a kid that I was best friends with when I was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. And after a while, I kind of got the idea that, like, this always happens the same way. Not only is there that kind of treatment, but there's a whole bunch of other things that are just manipulations. That when you're 10, you don't understand. But when you start to get a little bit older, you can only go through it so many times before you realize, wait a minute, why am I always the one who ends up on the business end of this? So ended that friendship and then found the guy on Facebook years and years later, you know, like 20 years down the road, and said, you know, thinking, you can't be the same as you were when you were 13. So started up, hey, man, how you been? How's everything going? Right. Where are you? It was in a different city. All right, that's cool. And then immediately the same behavior started. And I was like, wow, are you still 13? And wow, am I done?
That stinks.
Yeah. That stinks. Because, I mean, there are those people that really liked being 13. So they just kind of decided to stay there. And he was one of them.
Yes.
Let's get to Ashley in Kansas City here real quick. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, guys. There's a woman that I was friends with. I babysat her kids when I was 12, 13. Her daughter is still my best friend, and I've cut off communication. I don't talk with her at all. I talk to her daughter every day. But she would get drunk and at like 1 or 2 in the morning call me and leave me these horrible messages about stuff I did as a teenager. I'm 45. That's long gone now. And then she would get mad. Like I said, I'm good friends with her daughter. And she would say, well, you're not her friend. You're my friend. If I tried to hang out with her with any other friends, she would try to start crap between me and that other friend.
Yeah.
And it was finally just like, no, I can't do this anymore. You're a miserable human being, and I am not going to be around you.
It's exactly the same thing. It's like middle school sucked the first time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do not want to go back there, thank you. Anyway, you are 60. Act like it.
Right.
Then I had another young woman that I was friends with, and she's married to my ex-husband, and her and I were trying to be friendly, do that nice co-parenting thing. Well, her and I got into a fight one day, and I was calling her to gripe about my husband or my boss, like friends would, you know?
Right.
And her and I got into it one day, and she said, well, I know exactly what you said. I've recorded all of our phone conversations.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I said, huh, well, I will never speak to you on the phone again. That was 5 years ago, and I have never spoken to her again. You break my trust like that, and we're done. I do not play games when it comes to that. And I even said later on to her husband, are you guys that bored that you have to record every phone conversation?
Wow.
And because that's baby games. I don't even know where that would come from.
Yeah. A deep-seated psychosis would be my guess. But
yeah.
Ashley, it sounds like you did the right thing. Thank you. Thanks for the call. This is what I mean.
Thanks, Ashley.
And we don't put it in terms of a breakup, but, you know, it's a relationship. Even if it's not a romantic relationship, mm-hmm. it's still a relationship. It's still a breakup. And they're not easy.
All right, we have to get to a break. A bunch of you are texting in. We have callers on hold. We'll get to everybody coming up next here on KMBZ. Ever broken up with a friend? Not ghosted them, not just stopped trying, but actively said, in whatever delicate, subtle way you could do it or not, this is no longer a healthy thing for me, which is what I think is what we're talking about for a lot of us, is you realize this does not benefit me. This is not healthy for me.
Exactly. Yeah. And so have you taken that opportunity to just tell somebody what you're doing to me is unacceptable? I'm not doing this anymore. Goodbye. And with that, we'll go back to it to Jose, who's up next in Liberty. Hey, Jose.
Hi, guys. Morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. What's on your mind?
Great. Well, listen, this applies to any kind of friendship, relationship, romantic or otherwise. And I've been told I'm a pretty good listener, and I have took a lot of classes in psychology, sociology, and in college, and pretty much majored in it. So a lot of my friends have come to me with their problems of relationships, and I pretty much tell them how it is, and I have intuitive feelings about things, and I tell them this is what's going to happen and this and that, whatever. And most time, 95% of the time, I nail it.
Yeah. Behavior like that isn't hard to predict once you know what's going on.
Yes. Once they start being disrespectful to you, and it's a one-way street with them, that, you know, they're dictating the relationship. Everything goes, you know, their way, and you have no say-so, and they act, narcissistic and all those bad things, and it's time to go.
Yeah.
It's time to go.
That doesn't change. You got it. Now, have you done that yourself? Have you taken that step with friends of yours, or do you just recognize them when you just see them coming and go, I don't want anything to do with you?
No, I just recognize them.
Gotcha.
And I just go out.
Good for you.
I haven't told you anything.
Yeah. Jose, thank you. Yeah, those are hard lessons to learn, but, incredibly valuable once you get them. How about Mike in Topeka up next? Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. So I want to touch base a little bit to the opposition of this, kind of, because I think it's not being made 100% clear, at least in my opinion, that it shouldn't just be someone does something wrong and you cut them out. Just like with a romantic relationship, if someone, hurts you in that relationship, you're going to tell them ahead of time first, and you're going to have that discussion about what they did and why it upset you and give them the opportunity to make it right.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I think that is important, especially as adults. It is so difficult to make friendships as it is, and one of the biggest examples that we've used amidst this conversation is people not communicating back, and you're always the one reaching out. I know a lot of my friends, have ADHD or have social anxiety disorders or have issues that they may just be absent-minded and aren't thinking of it. And so when I reach out to them, it is not a matter of, you don't talk to me every week. Why aren't you talking to me more? It's a matter of, I'm so sorry. I've been distracted. I've been busy. I will make an effort to do better in the future. And they have. So I do think outside of the truly egregious things like someone stealing from you or causing you, great harm in some other way, whether it's physical or emotional or what have you, that it is important to have the conversation and at least give someone the chance to be a good friend before cutting them out.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I think that, everybody can make a mistake, right? Sure. You're right. You've got to give. But when you notice a pattern of behavior, and even after you do bring it up, it keeps happening, then, exactly. That's when you've got to start asking some hard questions.
You draw that line in the sand and you tell them, look, we are at a crossroads in our friendship. If this does not change, I am done with you. And if they keep it up, then absolutely cut them out, because people deserve better than that.
Yeah. I wrote on our thread to Jamie, the one that I was talking about that I knew when I was young and, met him again as an adult, and he was exactly the same person. It was that same kind of thing. And what I realized and what I eventually said to him was, every time we talk, I come away from it feeling worse about me, and I don't want to do that anymore.
That's awful.
Yeah, absolutely. If the friendship doesn't give you benefit in some way, then it's just not worth it, and you put your own mental health ahead of that and be willing to cut someone off if it comes to it.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Phone lines are ringing. We'll get to more of your calls coming up. I'm going to delicately throw something out there that I just told you about, John, because this is happening now.
Sure.
with a good friend of mine, but I want to put on the table the idea that you find out that someone you were a very good friend with did something awful, like, say, cheated or did something like that. And it's kind of the final straw for other qualities. Maybe you didn't love, but they were kind of a good friend in other ways. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going through now, is that I have a couple friends of mine that got divorced and I didn't know exactly why. And then I found out why. And she told me stuff that he did and he didn't tell me. And when he finally did, he wasn't very apologetic about it.
That to me is the biggest problem.
It's a big deal for me too. Yeah. That it just seemed to him like it's okay that he did what he did. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that going, what? How do you not see this as being totally wrong, what you did?
And if you can justify it when you're dealing with somebody that you're married to.
Right.
Well, then how much restraint can I expect you to have in how you treat people that you're just friends with?
Yeah, that's the thing I'm having a hard time with right now is wow. Sometimes you just can't believe that people are capable of what they're capable of.
Definitely.
So if you have thoughts, Katie, hang on the line. We'll get to more of your calls coming up here on KMBZ.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So it's hard to end a friendship, to actively do it, but I think it's also empowering when you finally decide, I am worth more than this. And I do not need this.
Definitely. And when you come out of the other side of it, you do. I mean, you feel a whole lot better about yourself in general. Off to Katie we go in Kansas City. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
Hey, what did you want to add in here?
Well, I just want to say there have been two times in my mid-30s where I have had to end because of just the sheer negativity of the people. Like, nothing makes them happy. They're always upset, always complaining. And no matter what you try to do, they're always negative and grumpy. And I'm a person, like, I'm an empath. So I really take on those feelings of other people. And it got to the point where doing that.
Katie, I got to stop. I'm catching every other word.
Your cell, unfortunately, man, is being really cruddy on you. But I think we kind of got it. And that, yeah, thank you very much for the call. I think that can also be. I mean, there are some people that their personality just clashes with yours. That's mm-hmm. just who they are. And
right.
it doesn't necessarily make them bad people, but it makes them a bad fit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and sometimes I've had it happen too, where I have changed and that friendship no longer fits who I have become.
Sure.
Because I grew and evolved and that person didn't. Things that used to be okay with me about that person are not okay with me now because I have grown. Yep. And that's okay too.
Right. And those changes can take any kind of form. Judging by what we've gotten on the text line, sometimes it's about money. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's about politics. Sometimes it's about religion. I mean, all the things you're not supposed to talk about at the Thanksgiving table, right? And when those things creep into a friendship and start changing things, mm-hmm. you know, it's fine. I've got plenty of friends who are religiously very different than I am. We just don't talk about it. It's not a piece of why we are friends. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That said, we'll go to Sierra in Lenexa up next. Hi, Sierra.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well.
Great.
Okay, I have two kind of different situations that happened with two different friends. The first one was a really good friend of mine of 6 years, and I was in her wedding. It was the first wedding I had ever been a part of. And 6 months after the wedding, she cheated on her husband, and I had to end the friendship, which was really unfortunate. But for me, I was so excited about being her maid of honor. I took that role very seriously. My daughter was in her wedding, and I just came to the conclusion that it is scary, kind of like you guys touched on. Like, if they're capable of doing that to someone that they're supposed to spend the rest of their life with, what are you capable of doing to your friends? Mm-hmm. And it was just a very uncomfortable situation. And then it was also, you know, my daughter's watching everything that I do. And I thought that it would be a really bad reflection to continue being friends with someone that have morals like that, because that's teaching my daughter that maybe in a way that's okay.
Yeah.
So that's that friendship.
How did you find out? Did she tell you?
She did. She confided in me almost like just a ha-ha, you know, conversation between the two of us. And I felt like I had been kicked in the chest because I don't think she anticipated me having that reaction, because I think she thought it was a safe space. And I was kind of surprised at my own reaction, but I just take that so seriously. I've never been married, and, you know, being cheated on is a really big fear of a lot of people's. And so to watch someone that I care about have such a lackadaisical, you know, it was just crazy to me. And so it was unfortunate to end that friendship, but I just couldn't be a part of that. And then another friendship I ended, that was a best friendship of almost 17 years. Wow. And it was a situation where her and I were attached at the hip for 17 years. We grew up together. We went to school together. And the moment she found her partner and they got engaged, it was almost like I never existed. And so that was really hard for me too, because as much as I want to support that, I also have to look out for my own.
Oh, and again, the cell goes out. But yeah, you're 100% right. You do have to look out for yourself in a situation like that. And, you know, to go back to, this is what gets me about the first woman that she was talking about, the one who cheated on her husband and then confided in her, is not only does it tell you all about her, it also tells you that she just put you in a very uncomfortable spot.
Yeah.
You feel like you gotta unburden yourself to somebody, go see a priest.
This is what therapy is for.
Right. Yeah. And with that, you know, you're making this now a burden that I have to carry for you. Cause every time mm-hmm. I see him, I'm going to have to think, okay, she cheated on you. You don't know about it. And do I tell you what's the right thing for me to do here? You can't do that to somebody. You can't put them in that kind of position when they're not involved in mm-hmm. what happened. That's another. Yeah. She was a bad friend to you, in addition to being a bad wife to him.
So I have sort of been on the receiving end of being ghosted. Some of you may have heard the story before. And I'm perfectly comfortable telling it because he doesn't live here. But I had a best friend. I mean, like the truest best friend I've ever had in my life. I had for like 14 years from the time I was in my early 20s until long after I moved here. And just absolutely like the family friend and the best friend I wish I'd always had. And he, for reasons that I didn't understand, needed to borrow money from me. And I debated about it and I thought, okay, but if I was ever really in trouble, he's the one I would go to and he would lend it to me, no questions asked. So I did. And we did paperwork and we did all that kind of stuff. And he didn't pay it back by the date we'd agreed. And I let it go because I had a lot going on in my life. And a year later, he still hadn't paid it back. And I finally kind of took issue with it. I felt like I was being taken advantage of. And so I asked for it back. And the first time I even brought it up, he stopped returning my calls.
Wow.
Didn't communicate with me, didn't return messages. I was going through a lot personally at the time. I needed my best friend. He wasn't there for that either. Like 3 months later, he finally called me out of the blue. I was on my way to work. I was on my way to the radio station. And in a very hurried conversation, explain like why it's taken so long, whatever. Don't worry, I'll have it to you soon. And he did within like 6 weeks. He Venmo me or whatever it was. And it was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We have not had a conversation since then. What I assume is he felt ashamed at needing to borrow money in the first place and maybe felt ashamed with me, which is stupid. I wasn't judging him. I just needed the money back.
Sure.
And I mean, this probably happened 5 years ago. It was a hard friendship for me to let go of, but he wouldn't return. I would text and call and say, hey, I miss you. And if you're worried about me judging you, I'm not. We're still great friends. He doesn't return text messages. He doesn't return phone calls. There is no explanation. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's also like,
it's not like you were badgering him.
No, but the more he avoided me, the more anxious I got about it. Let me tell you, a lot of therapy has happened about that friendship, because then I felt abandoned by this best friend of mine who then suddenly ghosted me. This is the very long version of the story, but it is hard to be on the receiving end of somebody who just walks away and doesn't explain why.
Definitely. Yeah. And if you don't know, I mean, again, that's a lousy thing to do, because you're in the situation where you're shrugging your shoulders going, what happened here?
And I did what you asked me to. Yeah. I mean, I did you a favor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Abandonment is the best word I have for it.
That's rough. Let's wind this up with Liz, who's calling in from Stanbury. Hi, Liz.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. Great. What's on your mind?
Well, I got in a terrible position. I was a hairstylist. I worked in a salon in California. And everything was peaceful in our salon. I love the salon owner. And I had an extremely good friend, probably one of my best friends at the time. And I knew she didn't have quite the morals that I had. But so I was at her house and she sat me down and told me that she had slept with the owner of my salon's husband. And I didn't know what to do. It was really bad. I'd been hurt deeply by someone cheating on me.
Yeah.
So I knew how much if I told her it would hurt her. Her first husband fell off a roof and died. And so she had a really hard time, raised her kids by herself. So she's in this marriage and doing well. And, you know, I think she loved him. And I just knew if I told her, it would just break her whole world up. And I just didn't know what to do. It was a really bad situation.
Yeah. Well, and again, you're put in an uncomfortable situation about something you had absolutely nothing to do with. That's so unfair.
Yeah. And it was especially my boss, the owner, and I was super good friends with her too.
Yeah.
I was just in a position, it's a really small town. It would have just been a disaster for her. So it was sort of bad not telling her, but just trying to save her feelings. It was usually I don't tell unless I have fact, because it's always kind of kill the messenger. But this time I knew for a fact and I just made that decision. It might have been the wrong one, but I knew how hurt she would be.
And
her life would be torn apart again.
Yeah, I'm not going to hop on you for what you did. I think that's because, again, it's a situation you never should have been put in. But thank you, Liz, for the call. Right. I wish you luck with it. It's just... I can't. I mean, that may be a good topic for another day, is what do you do when you find out? You know, do you tell or do you not tell? But the fact of the matter is you just never should be in that position at all.
Yes. All right. And thank you to everybody for sharing your stories with us. We appreciate it.
Definitely.
The stories that we've been reading the text line as well. So thank you for that. All right. We'll take a break. Coming up, part number 470 something of the reasons escalators are bad. We'll get to the story coming up here on KMBZ.
I like an escalator, man, because an escalator can never break. It can only become stairs.
I keep telling you people, stay off escalators. And this story is awful. What happened to the 72-year-old guy from Japan?
Yeah, awful because he didn't live through it. And in all of the other stories that we've had about people being severely damaged, either on escalators or on moving walkways, the moving walkway lady, yikes, she got foot trapped in it. But with this guy, they're still not exactly clear on how he died. And he got caught in a part of the escalator. You know, normally we hear about getting caught, pant cuffs or shoelaces or something like that, caught in between the pieces of the floor that you're standing on. That's not what happened here. His suit jacket got caught in the handrail.
Oh, so it makes sense to me that can happen. It moves.
Sure.
I didn't realize there would be, how can I put this? Not like suction, but like that air's moving anywhere in there, that it would pull your suit jacket in, or that it would, that if you by chance somehow, if there's a big gap, that it wouldn't just let it go when you got to the end.
Sure. And yeah, in this case, it didn't. They found him at the end of the escalator, collapsed, and they said the cause of death remains undetermined. There's a couple of obvious possibilities. If, you know, because we're thinking maybe it was the sleeve of his jacket that got caught, but if it wasn't, you know, if it was the outside of the jacket, that it could have crushed him or kept him from being able to breathe. The other thing is, he's 72 years old. It could very well have just been the fall when it dragged him down, when he collapsed. I mean, Joe Lieberman, frankly, just died following a fall. So it could have been, you know, whatever injuries he sustained by falling, internal bleeding or whatever. But they said when they found him, he was still conscious. He lost consciousness shortly thereafter and was taken off to the hospital, where he was eventually confirmed dead.
So they looked at the security camera footage and said he was found near the escalator's exit, which connects the station platform to the ticket gate area, and the escalator was moving at the time.
So even when they found him, it hadn't shut off. It was still going.
Which is a problem also.
Yeah.
I mean, if that had stopped, then it would be different. Yeah, either of those two possibilities would make sense. It's possible that, because it was the back of his jacket that got caught, that maybe the jacket pulled his shirt, maybe he had a tie on, and that strangled him.
Yeah.
And maybe it didn't take long. Or to your point, he fell, and it was the fall that killed him.
Yeah, but either way, it's such a dangerous situation. And, you know, like I said, I've never heard of anybody getting caught in the handrail before. It's always the steps themselves that when they mesh together, that's where the problem usually arises.
Again, this is my fear. This is how I'm going to die. This is why I don't like to wear shoes with laces on escalators. Because my fear, and it's happened, so it's not an irrational fear, is that my shoe is going to get stuck, or the laces are going to get stuck at the end when I'm about to step off. And that there have been stories about people that get stuck. Or their foot gets stuck and they lose their foot.
It's another reason to hate shoes. I'm never getting off of that. I just can't. Yes. I had to wear shoes and socks yesterday. It was too cold and I hated it.
You didn't have to. I guess you could have just skipped this out. I sometimes will just wear, I have like really good sandals are like good for walking.
Yeah.
Like there's a really strong base on them. I wear them when I travel, when I don't want to take a lot of shoes with me. I'll wear those even if it's cold sometimes, because it's just my feet.
Is that your Birkenstocks? Are you a hippie? You big hippie?
No, because that definitely describes me. Somebody give me a brand of shoe. I can't. They're 20 feet from me, but I can't think of what they are.
They're not Birks?
No.
Oh, okay.
These are like, give me a brand of shoe that is good. Not like Dr. Scholl's, but like what's a good brand of shoes? You're a shoe guy. You should. Although you don't like shoes.
Yeah, Red Wings, but they don't make sandals. Those are usually the ones that, yeah, I mean, like postmen wear, because they have to be out on their feet all the time.
I don't remember the brand, but I love them. It was one of those like, ooh, I got this one right. You know, like I'll buy five pairs of these because they look like I could wear them into a nice restaurant.
Oh,
and
nice.
That would be okay. But they're good for walking in, which is why I take them. I don't like to bring a lot of shoes when I travel because they're so heavy and they take up so much space. That's what I That's what I take.
Those are your escalator
shoes. I don't know how
shoes.
I got on that, but yeah.
Those are the ones, yeah. If you have to go on an escalator, that's what you're wearing.
No laces. That's the point. No laces there. Okay, I think we have time for this story about the computer and the video games.
Oh, yeah. So Neuralink is a company that is another one of Elon Musk's ventures. And the whole point behind Neuralink is to try to find a way, which they say they've done, to connect the human mind directly to a computer so that you don't need to use your hands. You can just move the cursor with your eyes or by thinking about it or whatever. And they've done it. They have now an interview that's been done with the very first patient to receive the Neuralink network. And he said it works great. His name is Nolan. I'm looking for his last name. But yeah, he in an interview about the technology, the reason why he was a candidate for it is because he suffered a spinal injury. So he has movement in his shoulders, but nothing below that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And now it's not going to give him, it's not going to do what I think, you know, that might lead some people to believe, which is help with his paralysis. It has nothing to do with that. But they said this guy's a good candidate to be able to use this Neuralink network. So the Neuralink was implanted into his brain. It took 2 hours to do the procedure. And now he has this direct connection with a computer in front of him. He doesn't need to use his arms, and he can't anyway.
Wow.
But, he said that he spent the entire time playing video games. So we invent this incredible technology to link a human mind to a computer, and what does he do? He pulls an all-nighter playing Civilization VI. So Sid Meier, I'm sure, somewhere is smiling.
Had he just not gotten to play video games in a long time, maybe?
He was a gamer, and it had been, I guess it was 8 years ago that he suffered the injury.
Okay.
So I don't know what he had been doing up till now, but yeah, he decided to see between Civilization. There are a couple of other games that he mentioned that he was looking forward to playing, and now he can.
Good for him. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk about new food coming to the Kauffman Stadium for on opening day here. And we've got to talk about the new kind of water, apparently, there is a demand for. We'll get to all that and a lot more in the next hour here on KMBZ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.